status quo is if you say, I'm good with mediocre, I'm never going to be good with that, especially when it comes to my body and it comes to my life.
Absolutely. Hi, Liz.
Hi, Lee.
Oh, we're wiggling. Good to see you.
Yeah, you too. Missed you last week.
We've been together.
In podcast land, we took a break.
Yeah, we took a week off, and here we are getting ready to record, or I guess we're recording.
Yes.
We're recording the day after Easter, so my sodium content might be high.
And oh, you think?
The pollen content is high, so I kind of feel like...
And we're getting ready to take off for our
secret
spring
trip.
Break. Oh, okay. Oops. Okay. No, we're really just like...
You'll hear about it when we get back.
Yeah, but
I mean, I want to keep it a secret.
They're gonna get this on Thursday. Aren't we back Thursday?
No, we're back Friday.
Oh, and we don't want to tell them about it?
No.
No, okay. Oh, well, first of all, we might not go that way.
Yes, we are.
Okay, we're going. Okay. Okay.
Oh, my God.
Start.
This is funny.
Good
start. No, we are taking an adult spring break.
Yes. Very adult.
Really, kind of the whole East Coast is going to be frigid. So
it's
I'm really
cold
glad
and
that
rainy
we had
where we're going.
A fabulous 80 degree sunny past couple of days, because where we are headed is going to be cold and frigid, but we'll report back after.
Yes. And is it worth it? Right. It's, you know, it's like, do you want to leave this sunny, beautiful weather, even though in Charlotte it's going to be kind of, it's going to be a little cloudy, but
yeah, I do.
Hey, it's not about the weather. It's about your company and your events.
So we always say that.
Yeah.
You can go anywhere with the
one. That's right. With the right one. Yeah. So.
But I am excited about that. I am kind of like, because I haven't been making appointments that I need to make for myself.
Oh, are we talking about hormones again?
Well, a lot.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. We're going to, as a matter of fact, we're going to go as hard on hormones for the next, I don't know, 5 years. As hard as that, as we have been on the patriarchy. We are going strong on the hormones. After we had that talk with Liz Moran.
Right.
At the studio, like last week, lots of people came. Stay tuned. We might have her on the podcast.
Yes. That's the plan.
That's a plan.
To go a little deeper.
And that was creating more questions than answers, which I think is a great, it was a great event. But what we don't want you to walk out of your doctor's office with after we talk more about hormones with Dr. Moran is that exact thing. More questions. You need answers from your doctor, and she's going to give you those kind of things. And I was really pleased with not only the information she brought, but also the confirmation myself for doing HRT all these years. So yay me, you know? And I say, you know, do your own research, be your advocate.
Absolutely. And I am turning 45 this year.
God, so old.
Me old?
Nah, you always need my young girlfriend.
I feel it a little bit. I mean, entering perimenopause, and I know one of her points and what's important is to get ahead of it.
Yeah.
And continue to talk to your doctor about it so that it's not just like a whack and have to go backwards.
Right.
And making those lifestyle changes that are supportive of whatever it is you choose to do. Mm-hmm. And like anything else, we know it's not a magic bullet. So to your point of make sure you have answers, once you do have some answers, it will be a little bit of a trial and error process,
it will.
Right?
It really
I mean,
will.
You have to see how your really body will. Reacts if you need to kind of change levels. It's just like the workout, that's not a trial and error. It just takes consistency is more of the point.
And to
with
find
that.
Your place in your levels where you roll back to normal. That's the thing I noticed when I went on HRT 19 years ago. And hormone replacement therapy. I keep forgetting, you know, that's kind of a new term for people.
For sure.
So that means hormone replacement therapy, when your body starts to quit producing basically estrogen, testosterone, progesterone, and maybe a few other things. But those are your main three. So I remember the trial and error I had was I went pretty straight hard into it with the pellets.
Right.
After doing lots and lots and lots of research. And I've talked about that before, so I won't go into it again. But the turnaround immediately, you feel better. That's you don't, the turnaround immediately for you is whatever you choose, whatever your doctor starts you with, the whole point is you're going to start to feel better.
Right.
And then you work your way up to where you need to be. But it's, we're not meant to feel bad. That's not part of being a woman.
No, especially when you are doing all the other things to keep your body mm-hmm. and your mind healthy, mm-hmm. like working out, like your diet that you choose that works for you, like constant movement, like putting, you know, positive energy in your life, meditating, et cetera, mm-hmm. is you've got to support that. And I do want people to remember that there is a bit of an effort that has to go into working hard to mm-hmm. keep your body healthy. I mean, if you're coming into the studio and not ever challenge, yeah, it's cool. See, we talked about it. Spring allergies, whatever ailment you have,
whatever.
If you're coming into the studio and not consistently pushing yourself, mm-hmm. you know, sometimes trying to pick up the heavier weights, mm-hmm. staying in a position a little longer than you did before,
right?
Then you're missing out. And that's not to say don't pull back when you need to. I mean, one thing I really know, speaking of hormones and, you know, before I start my cycle, generally, I need to calm it down a little mm-hmm. bit. I need to listen to my body more.
What do you mean calm it down? What do you
mean? And not push as hard. I think there's sometimes when I feel like not great. I mean, sometimes mm-hmm. I felt a little, you know, what's the word? Queasy? I was trying to say wheezy. I'm like, no, that's the queasy. Pollen.
Like
queasy, kind of nauseous. And I'm like, calm down on the abs or take a break mm-hmm. or when I just don't feel as strong and powerful because those hormone levels are dipping. Mm-hmm. So and those are the times when we say, listen to your body.
Yeah.
And if you're just constantly cruising at whatever you're doing, you're going to need to mm-hmm. play around, challenge yourself a little bit more. So just a general point to advocate for yourself.
I have a question.
In every way.
My question is this. Do you think people listen to their body as in, oh, I don't feel like doing it and they don't do enough?
There's listen to your body and listen to your mind.
Yeah, yeah. And so, you know, when we say listen to your body, for instance, today I come in a little swollen from all the ham and whatever else we put in our bodies.
I don't do the sugar, but I do the salt,
you know, I go after all that. And even, you know, that with the wine and all that. But, you know, I went hard. I listened to my body and my body said,
You need to go hard.
You need to pick up the 10 pounds and you need to go strong and you need to not miss one of these lunges, right? Mm-hmm. All of the stuff. So I think I've seen people kind of cruise sometimes and think the workout will come to you. You've got to come to the workout and you've got to bring your game, your mind, your body to that workout. And it will change you around.
For sure. It's like anything else, really. Yeah. Bring yourself to the relationship. Bring yourself to your job. Mm-hmm. If you're just waiting for somebody to come to you with the money, with the answers, with mm-hmm. the magic bullet, it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
There, you've got to push.
All these years, there's been, back to hormones, there's been, oh, it's just something women have to go through. Really?
Right.
That's just not an... That was never an acceptable answer for mm-hmm. me. And 19 years ago was nothing like we are mm-hmm. now. We're all... Now, if you go on Instagram or any social media or any articles, every day I'm reading about menopause. I'm like, thank God. Nobody even used the term 19 years ago, and that wasn't that long ago.
No.
You know?
Now it's everywhere.
It is everywhere. And I'm really... pleased to hear that. So anyway, we got a lot of good research that you just don't take no for an answer. I never do. I never take no for an answer.
No,
never.
You don't.
Status quo is for losers. Status quo is if you don't want to grow. Status quo is if you say, I'm good with mediocre. I'm never going to be good with that, especially when it comes to my body mm-hmm. and it comes to my life.
Absolutely. And it's a cultural paradigm that's beginning to switch a lot more from mm-hmm. women are meant to age and disappear and, you know, I'm saying that was kind of the storyline for a while. And that has absolutely changed.
Yeah.
Where we don't just have to sit in the wings and watch men or other people go on with their lives and us suffer in pain. There's no point.
I watched my mother be really resentful about that. She was so resentful. I mean, not resentful. My mother
tell me how.
But I mean, like, you know, she was in the workforce.
Right.
And so as in her 50s going into 60s and, you know, women, she had to work. And so, you know, she's doing a secretarial type job or whatever they call that now. And she was just passed over by cuter women. Younger. It's so sad. I mean, this was the 70s, you know?
Exactly.
And, you know, women have just taken a lot of shit for a long time. And what I see going on right now is like, this is my generation or something. I don't know. I might be on the old end of what's going on right now, but it's like, finally I'm feeling my oats. I'm like, it's about damn time women like quit sitting down and shutting up and standing up and shouting out. It is time. It is past time.
Right, right.
And so we'll do this for our mothers and grandmothers and for our children and our grandchildren.
Oh, I love that.
So
that is, you've got to pave the way and show another way if it's not working for you. Mm-hmm. Back to taking care of yourself in that way, since I am right in the age of all
so
of this.
So excited to go through another menopause. Going through. This is going to be awesome.
Get to do it again. Well, if you help me out,
oh, I will.
Then it's going to be just as easy.
It's going to be a blast. You, we had so much fun.
Make fun of me.
I wouldn't never.
Yes, you would.
Okay, maybe.
Okay, so I've got to do that. This year, I have not made a skin check yet. So dermatology, I have to put that on the list.
You and your Irish skin, you need to do that every other week. Anyway, go ahead.
What was that about? You making fun of me? Yeah, every opportunity. Okay, next. It's the year of the first colonoscopy.
Oh.
Oof. Yep, already had my mammogram.
Good job, though.
Thank
Good
you.
Job.
Thank
I'm
you.
I'm impressed.
Yeah. And so I did want to say, too, I saw our friend Miranda did some stories about this, about how we torture each other with stories of things like childbirth, mammograms, colonoscopy,
yes,
all these things we have to go through. And so mentally, the anxiety of what we hear about things are so much worse than
it's
they
not
actually
that bad.
Are.
I've had all of these things.
Right.
I have made one declaration though, at 70 years old. I told my doctor the other day, she goes, well, you know, in the next couple of years, you're going to have to get another colonoscopy. I'm like, you know what? I got my PhD in that. I came clean. I am good. I probably will because it's the thing
let's
to
not
do.
Be but ignorant about
I just, I gotta say, it's just the buildup to that one. It's not the thing. The thing is fine because you're all dazed out with all these drugs and things, but it's the drinking of the thing.
Right.
Surely within 2 years, they will have that figured out. But the mammogram? Now you
no
did
deal.
That. That's no big deal.
There's nothing to swish. Well, how's yours?
That's a whole different ball. It's not bad. It's not bad. I mean, you know, I've got some implants here, so let's just be real.
Right.
You got to deal with that.
Okay.
And they move it around the little thingy but I go into a mammogram sort of in a competitive nature, like I'm going to be the best one in here. And I put my arm up on that thing and she does this thing and pulls it down. And I'm like, I will not whimper. I will not make a noise.
And I think that's the thing. Like all of these are manageable events we have to go through. And
nope.
So not to make them sound so traumatic for everybody else, because then we feed right into that, oh, poor women aren't strong enough to do anything story.
Hey,
that's not
I
want to
see a man put his feet in those stirrups and let somebody go up his orifices. Okay.
not want to see
it. The whole
don't say you want to see it.
I don't want to see it. But I mean, you know, it's just the positioning that you have to go when you go to a gynecologist.
Right.
It's literally the feet and the stirrups. And by the way, I had to go like recently just because I don't have to go much, but I had to go. Anyway, the stirrups have gotten much nicer. They're like padded and warm. Back in the day, it was like an ice skating rink in there and you just stuck your feet in these like metal things and, you know, you waited for the next torture thing to come at you. And it's not like that anymore.
Dramatic you are.
It's not
just so dramatic.
It's not like that anymore. Anyway, keep going. Keep giving them a pet talk about getting all this stuff done.
Well, I
tear it down.
I know. I'm like, you are really not helping me support each other through this.
No, it's going to be fine.
None of it's that big of a deal, you know, but
it is
important.
A big deal.
And
you got to do it.
We don't mean to make light of, you know, the fact that
I make
a serious point, you now interject.
I've already forgotten. Tell me what you're going to say.
Okay, great. I was going to say, I'm very lucky as on April 1st, I pay a really high premium for general health care that doesn't really get me very much.
Yeah,
true. That I'm privileged enough to be able to go to the doctor as a woman and see this. And, you know, I have to pay overtime and make all that work. But it is, you know, I don't really know all the ins and outs of healthcare, but I did just want to say, you know, reminder of that privileged place where I sit to be able to get healthcare and take care of myself. So I think that's something I'm always going to focus on and pay attention to in the world about what women and all socioeconomic groups need are afforded.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And that's why we're going to continue with our legislation to make sure women have healthcare, because right now the women that might be in a little bit of trouble with problematic pregnancies, some of that stuff in some of these states is kind of hard. It's, you know, they're waiting for them to be at death's door before they even let them in to be examined. So let's just keep our finger on the pulse and keep taking care of the women that are either going to be your grandchildren or yourselves, you know, because that's, I mean, you're right. You have that privilege to do that. Not everybody does. We don't have full health care in this country of ours.
So. That is right. Mm-hmm. All right. So I'll keep you posted on my journeys to the doctors.
Well, I mean, I feel like we'll be on these mics while you're going through this menopause thing.
Great.
So. Tag along. I know they'll be excited about that. We'll rename it, you know, menopause.
I'm not doing like a series on menopause for me. First of all, I'm maybe probably
you're not in,
in perimenopause. Yeah. You know, there are changes that are happening that I'm aware of. God, but no, I'm not going through anything torturous yet, but I just want to go get my hormone levels
and that's
checked
simply,
it's the baseline, right? Like a lot of healthcare is having a baseline of knowledge of what your body is like in homeostasis so that when something is different, you see it and know what to address it.
And so they can simply do a blood test and it's simple. I mean, it's really that simple.
But isn't it different between like going to your internist blood check versus going to an OB? It's
massively
a little more in depth.
Yeah. So your regular internist is doing a totally different blood work from someone that is really a specialist in your gynecological health. And she's going to, or he's going to read it and take different blood samples for different types of readings they're looking for.
Yeah.
So, you know, again, just educate yourself, you know, continue to ask the questions. And if you don't get the answers you want, ask the question again to someone else if you need to.
Right. And we obviously due to the stages that we're in our lives, you know, past menopause and 20 years on HRT and me entering it, we also recognize, you know, adolescent and young women, what they're going through.
It's so much like menopause, actually.
Going through puberty, getting pregnant, having a baby, postpartum.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot has changed probably since we gave birth.
Yeah, a lot of, I mean, definitely. But the point about you just said adolescence, like if you were 13, 14, or however you all when you start your period, that is such a shock and different, and your body feels so different. And if you really go through the traditional menopause and don't do some of the preliminary things you're talking about, it's that shock, and it's kind of shock and all, like, whoa, which just hit
what
me.
What is this?
Yeah, there's a wave of like hot flash stuff, and you know, you don't have to have all that. It's not necessarily had one.
But what are you relating to adolescence?
Adolescence is like you start your period and your hormones go bizarre.
It's the same bizarre. Type of shock.
It's shocking. I still recall it, don't you? I mean, how many girls can
know
have a
when
story?
And where you were when you got
and
your
where
period.
You were and who told you what to do with the tampon and all those sort of things. And that's another thing, cool thing Liz Moran does is she goes to adolescent girls and she shows them specifically how to insert a tampon. I wish somebody had helped
We've
me with that.
We've all heard your story.
I'm not going to tell it again, but I mean, that's a big deal.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, there's so much that you're going through, how you feel and, you know, how your body begins to change. And, and I think that's great that we have people in our community who can address all those aspects of life. And I think going to pregnancy is such one that has so much. A, it's just a long time. So now we're dealing with, women are dealing with, I feel like I don't have any research on this, so I'm just off the cuffing. Getting pregnant is so much harder than it used to be. So fertility issues, you know, politics completely aside, just the speaking of the privileged ability to take another route.
Have IVF, have the money to do that.
Right.
And
or adopt or.
Or, yeah.
Otherwise,
there's a lot of options there. But
thankfully,
we've got to keep women's health at the forefront of our thoughts because We're the ones that have these babies. We're the ones that keep your population going. And either we want to have if we want to have babies, we want to support that. If we don't want to have babies, we want to support that. We simply want to support women's health. That's it. Period.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I mean, I just can't think of anything, you know, in a healthy stage of life that lasts as long
as pregnancy.
As a pregnancy. There's the pre, there's the during, there's the post, and you loved it.
I thought it was great. It's just you got to have a baby at the end of it. I mean, I love having one baby. She was great.
Right.
But it was a lot different from being pregnant to me was just like, it was like a day at the fair. I mean, I would just like eat the world. I just remember having such an appetite and going, wow, life feels so good and delicious. And I liked my body.
You just ate?
I ate and ate and ate.
How much weight did you gain?
Only 37 pounds, but maybe that's more than you're supposed to. But they took her literally on her due date because my small little boy body was not opening up correctly. And she was a breech. So
at that time, how long did you stay in the hospital for a C-section?
Oh, a solid week, which again, heaven.
Wonderful.
Heaven. You've got nurses, you got people bringing you the baby. They didn't leave her in my room. Well, there was a reason. She had a little jaundice, which, you know, that's fine. She got over it. Meanwhile, I got some sleep and got to recover from surgery. So that was good. I mean, I felt the whole, I love being pregnant. I thought it was great.
Go again.
I'm not.
You love it so much. I mean, God.
What was that?
Why don't you be a surrogate?
Yeah. Oh, my God. Wasn't there some 60-year-old woman nurse that did that?
Probably. That seems unnecessary.
This could be my next career.
Oh, good. A surrogate and a wet nurse.
Actually, that's not a bad idea. I mean, I still have a uterus. I could carry it.
There you go.
I mean, you know. Wonder what the going rate is.
Well, I was I was curious. You might have to adjust the HRT.
And I could really, in studio, like really, really do some hands-on like modifications. Like, I totally get it, y'all. I get it. I'm in my 8th month of pregnancy as well. And yes, we don't want to twist so hard. We want to make sure we're protecting ourselves and our baby. That is such a weird thought. Anyway.
Because like us in real life is so kind of like, what? Anyway, so if you were becoming pregnant, I would die. I would love it. It's hilarious.
Stranger things have happened, you know.
I know. I had my babies, I was ready to get out of the hospital. I don't know if it changed, but I felt like
why were you ready to get out of the hospital?
Constantly like heaven. Poking, prodding in the room. I just wanted to get out of there and move on.
I'm sorry, you're getting sleep when you're in the hospital.
I wasn't.
Well, I was. They gave you drugs. Oh, I was like sleeping.
You were on vacation.
I was on vacation. It was like being in a spa. I mean, you sit there, you know, you're in some pain. You've had abdominal surgery from a C-section. But I probably told the story, but I remember having morphine. They give you morphine when you have a C-section, or they did in 1982.
Right.
I remember my brother rolls in with the champagne and my mother, and they're like, yeah, she's got a girl. This is all great. We're going to name her Clary. And they're popping bubbles and stuff. And this nurse ratchet rolls in there.
It becomes DSS.
I've already like taken my shot of morphine. I'm watching this party from the ceiling.
Wow.
I am like, whoo. This is good stuff, whatever this is. And Nurse Ratchet rolls in and she goes, I'm sorry, you need to get that alcohol out of this room. And young lady, you will not be getting your morphine for the next 24 hours.
Wow.
And I went, where's my doctor? I mean, I'll never forget that. I was in massive pain and I never saw her again. If I ever see her again.
I don't think you will.
I'll remember you, nurse.
Wow. I remember having what are they called? A lactation consultant.
Sorry, that's an awesome. What do you do for a living? I'm a lactation consultant.
I mean, lactate. I mean, that just feels like an utter cow. Just,
yeah.
Oh, gosh.
Did she like grab your boobies
manipulate
them?
Yes. And so I had a breast reduction prior to kids. So milk ducts are gone probably. And I'm going to try.
But they didn't tell you this.
You probably knew it, but I didn't care. I was ready. Ready for them to go. And so, like, no milk's coming out. You're doing the
But did you know that the milk ducts are not going to be?
I mean, it's a possibility. They tell you, like, might not produce as much milk. And again, coming from somebody who's ready to chop them off, like, I didn't care about nursing.
Again,
maybe that's the whole
I understand
thing.
You in so many ways, but I will never, and you know this.
I know.
I will never understand why you would chop off your boobies.
Well, I'm glad I did it. So
I'm glad you did for you.
It just wasn't me. I feel more in my body with smaller ones, and you feel more in your body with bigger ones. So we're all moderate.
Again, choices. We all have choices.
We all have choices. And I made that as an adult. I'm good
so
with
the decision.
So how'd
it go with the nursing thing?
So not very well, but I was trying hard. Like, they put those nipple shields on that try to get your nipple to come out for them to latch on. And my first child had a tongue tie that we didn't know about. So it was just like a mess. And so she came in, and I'll just, the only thing I remember was that she must have eaten a bag of red onions.
Oh, wow.
She's all up in my face helping me.
And you're like going,
I'm
like,
just get out.
Give me
a
barf bag. Right.
Yeah.
That
was
horrible.
So that was my experience.
Well, mine was like, I'd hear a baby cry and my
would shoot across
really
the room.
TMI.
See, you'd be at the perfect wet nurse.
Mine would shoot across the room to the other room. I mean, mm-hmm. I was like, what is happening? I don't own my body anymore. There's some alien here that like you'd be in the, I remember being in the Harris Theater and like had those big pads in the bra and it just like soaked. And I went,
I can't imagine.
And I went like this, and I just left my car. I had to get out of there.
Oh, my God.
It got soaked, and I had to go. So, anyway. Trouble. Yeah. It's so much fun.
Tall and fit and
yes,
strong.
No, she was like choking on this stuff. God, slow this stream down.
Oh, my God.
Oh, this is really getting off the rails.
No, it's really what happens.
It is what happens.
And you never know until you do it.
Yeah.
And if you do it again, then you get a little bit better at it, but something else goes tricky.
Did the second baby, you get that
the nursing
thing going?
No. The nursing was never my thing.
Oh, so you just said
the
hell with it.
Pop a baby out and I can whip back in.
Yeah, but not the nursing.
But not the nursing.
So she just went straight to bottle.
No, there was some like gold standard colostrum and
yeah,
a little
the
bit
six
of
6 weeks or 8 weeks.
Yeah.
6 or 8 weeks. Can't remember.
I made it that far supplementing.
Supplements.
Yeah, but they got what they got. Yeah. They've
healthy
done
little,
so far
healthy
so
little
good.
Critters. They're wonderful.
Healthy little critters.
They are.
Old critters.
They were all over here yesterday for Easter.
I know. Nice celebration. We did a teenage Easter egg hunt. So I put trivia in the
really
Easter
good.
Eggs.
This is a great idea. I think you'll
really
steal
good.
This idea. Tell him your idea.
Well, since our youngest is 10 between mm-hmm. us and our oldest is 17 and mm-hmm. in between, we want to keep the tension at bay.
Right.
You know, you can't have the oldest one swiping them all up and he would never do that anyway. But I mean,
yeah, he would.
You never know. So everybody had a 10 egg rule and I hid them all over the yard. Uh-huh. And in each egg was like the jelly bean and a strip of paper with mm-hmm. a clue. So once you got your 10, you ran inside and you started answering your questions.
These were good
and
questions.
And you could phone a friend. So we had 4 adults in the house and each other. So for mm-hmm. instance, your grandson's super animal genius.
He knows the animal.
And so anybody who got an animal question in there would be like, Cameron!
Yeah.
How many bones does a shark have? You got 0. Trick question. No bones.
And how big is the biggest rabbit ever?
18. No, 4 feet. You said 18. It was how old was the oldest rabbit?
18. 18 years. But how big was 4 feet?
Longest was 4 feet.
Can you imagine a 4 foot rabbit?
No, I don't want to. But I have bad dreams about it.
Yeah. Yeah. There were some really good questions.
Yeah. So a
we
little
had religious
bit
questions. Everything
Easter,
was good.
A little bit of religious to make sure they were paying attention.
Yeah. They needed to know all the things.
Just some fun and random. But it was really fun. And everybody got kind of like, you were the first in the house. You got the best answers. You were the loser. Everybody got $20.
Everybody, like, yeah. We were going
to
do 10,
Mama,
but I forgot.
Bucks.
Yeah, well, I forgot to get change. She was like, don't give them 20. I'm
it's
like,
too much.
Well, they're like, you know, I think, you know, they get a lot of money for stuff they do now. So anyway, give them 20.
They get too much, but it's good. It was really fun. And we
played then we watched State win. Oh my gosh. This will be Thursday when y'all hear this podcast. Doesn't State play this Thursday? Or is it Friday and Saturday?
I think it's like Saturday and Monday.
Sunday.
Yeah.
Okay, real quick. We don't have to go to sports too much because most people don't really care. But this NCAA tournament is so good for the men and the women. But the men, specifically what we were watching yesterday, the State, NC State.
I literally can't believe you're having this discussion. This is why we lost, because you're a fair weather fan.
I am not. I'm a Tar Heel girl all
blue.
Day.
And
long.
Now you're talking about how pumped you are.
I'm pumped
about
over
this
NC
NCAA
State.
Tournament that we're not in.
No, I am pumped about NC State men's.
I agree.
Now, I should be pumped about the women's. Sorry, I haven't seen that one, but I watched the guy named Burns, right? Yeah. And his whole crowd of amazing
teammates.
Can I just tell you this one little tiny bit I know about it, which is very little?
Of course.
I was listening to Jay Billis this morning.
He's great.
And he was like, you know, he was a freshman at Duke. Mm-hmm. Sorry, Jay. I do like you anyway, but Duke. Anyway, he was a freshman at Duke in 1983 when Jim Valvano's team, yeah, the Dream Team or whatever they call it, Cinderella team, went all the way and won it. And mm-hmm. they came from nowhere. He says this NC State team is even more impressive because they were like 17 and 19 going into the ACC tournament.
Wow.
They started on a Tuesday night. I know this is TMI for people that don't care about sports, but it's like not having a chance in hell. And they won the ACC tournament. They beat Carolina, right?
Right.
I hated that day. But then I went, that team's good.
They're good.
And now I'm like, I'm pulling for them. I'm going to find something red.
No, I agree too. Where? They're in the ACC, in our state.
Yeah.
You know, I'm glad they beat Duke. That's great. I'm sad Carolina's not in it. They had a great season. I would say two takeaways for me is one, the Burns player for NC State.
He's having so much fun.
Exactly. He is having the best time. And I think that's so beautiful when you're the underdog, the unexpected. And that's what makes tournaments like this so exciting. When mm-hmm. you're at the top and you drop, that's the worst feeling. When mm-hmm. you're at the bottom and you rise up, that is nothing but fun.
Oh, it's
so
fun.
I hope that continues for
and
them.
They're just having fun. So you guys watch them. And now I'm going to make it a point to watch the women because I want to see what's going on with mm-hmm. the women too. I know mm-hmm. they're doing the same amazing stuff. I don't know what their records were before they got in the tournament, but all I know is I like to watch. Don't we all like to watch people have fun?
Yes.
And they're having fun and winning. And I have a feeling when and if they lose, they're going to be all right.
They'd be
hugely disappointed if they did, but
they
made it here. I have a feeling they win the whole thing.
I would love that. I think that'd be really, really fun. And the other thing I noticed, not the one other thing I noticed, but it was poignant. I showed you this yesterday when our Tar Heels did lose in the post-game interview. So our top two and three players, Armando Bacot, RJ Davis, Cormac Ryan, the question to RJ Davis was basically,
what happened?
A terrible game.
You sucked. And tell us how you sucked.
How were you at fault for mm-hmm. your shooting stats? And he was very dejected and head down couldn't really say very much and started kind of getting words out. And his teammate, Cormac Ryan, just said, I have to interject.
Like,
these guys are why we've made it this far, why this program is here. Some of the greatest Tar Heel and basketball players of all time. Mm-hmm. So there's, you know, everybody has a bad game, but I just loved that aspect.
He had their back.
Teammate.
That is the teammate that has your back. That says, it was a tough game, but he's the reason they're there.
Right.
He and the other one.
Right.
That was really good.
I thought that was very mature because they
That's
are all
why we
like
sports.
25
sports
now.
Sports is the metaphor for life. I mean, it's just like, when your people are down and they're amazing people, catch their back. The greatest people in the world need a little prop now and then.
That's exactly right. You know? I just think that's the fun of a tournament like this. Mm-hmm. The games are all,
they're all good.
Kind of fast
they're
paced.
All good.
Change back and forth and always mm-hmm. are kind of like down to the wire.
Yeah.
So it's exciting.
It's cool. Yeah.
One good thing about the spring, we've got a few more great things about the spring.
NCAA, how are we doing? Hormones, didn't see. We're like, I like that.
Let's, yeah, no, but we're going to wrap it up on
we're
this.
We're going to wrap it up.
On this.
Okay.
I'm going to tell you.
I'm good to hear.
Okay. Reminder, Beckler Gala.
Yes.
It's the month. We are in April now. The gala is April 19th.
Mm-hmm. We're going to have the
Why
link.
Why should they come?
Go.
No, you tell.
We're going to have the link in the show notes for you to click on it and to go. I'm telling you guys, it's going to be the party of the year.
Yeah, this is what I'm asking. Why should they go?
Why should you go? Two reasons. Number one, the Beckler. It's the museum for modern art on the whole East Coast. Am I correct?
Go for it.
Contemporary. No, I'm not correct because that would discount the New York City. In the Southeast, we're the only modern art museum. You can look back on the podcast we did.
No, we're not the only modern art museum. Let's just say.
Let's just
the
go.
Beckler
with
the, is
with the facts,
a very
as we know,
good
they're
contemporary
amazing.
And modern art museum.
And we don't have another one in Charlotte. And this is an exhibition of a woman from Iceland. And it's so inspirational and gorgeous. It's going to be up on the fourth floor where you'll have all kinds of things. I'm going to give you a little preview. You're going to have some Vikings involved, okay? So come just for that, if nothing else. Which the artwork, but the party that's going to happen is going to be off the hook. We've got two DJs.
More details.
Oh, sorry.
That is enough.
No details, but here's the thing. You're not only buying your way into the best party of the year, you're supporting this museum, the Beckley Museum, which is a foundational structure in Charlotte. It's one of our proudest crown jewels, and that's how we support it. We support it by donating, and we support it by doing these gala events, and we're really honored to be chairing it this
year. Absolutely.
So we really want you to come party with us.
Yes, indeed. So like she said, link to buy tickets. Mm-hmm. Please come.
Yes.
Buy one, buy two, bring a friend, get your outfits ready. It's fire and ice due to the Icelandic nature of the exhibit.
I think
this
sort of...
And so we are on it with our outfits.
Oh, we are. Oh, you just wait. Hey.
I'm excited.
Okay.
All right. Well, are we good? Let's land on that.
Well, okay.
Go ahead.
I just have one more thing to say.
This is your platform. You have the mic.
This is my platform. I just wanted to round it with one more thing about hormones. Okay. Fire and ice. Same thing. Ready? Let's go.
Good call.
Love you.
Love you. Bye.
Bye. Thanks for listening to us today, wherever you get your podcasts. And remember, you can now find our podcast on YouTube.
Yeah. If you liked it, please share, rate, and review. We love 5 stars. And we hope you'll work out with us online or in studio at HilliardStudioMethod.com.